Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for making things work. John, how have you been doing over there?
Oh, busy week.
Busy week? You're not a kidding, man. I tell you what, what's keeping you out of trouble?
Well, let's see. Pretty much right now our lives revolve around Harley's Grid Kids and Dylan's Kamiokin football.
Yeah, man, it is that time of year. Everybody's back in the swing of things.
And school and this and that.
It's going crazy for sure. Karen and I snuck away earlier in the week, but we made it back. We survived Fargo, North Dakota. We were at a real estate conference out there and touring some offices in similar type markets to
Fargo,
get some good ideas.
Huh?
Yeah, Fargo. And you know, McKay, I wasn't sure what to expect, but it was great. I think it was a couple months ago, somebody came out from Fargo. They gave a talk at the Chamber of Commerce. And they're really kind of a poster child for downtown revitalizations. And I got to tell you what, they did a cool freaking job there. I mean, it is a very cool downtown area, condos, mixed use development, kind of really a little bit of research there for us on our commercial side also to take a look at it. So if you get a chance and it's not the middle of winter, because everybody posted on my Facebook page, try going back in December and January and see how you like it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a chance outside of those few months, it's worth checking out. So good time, and learned a lot at the conference.
That's North Dakota, right?
That was North Dakota, yes.
Absolutely. We'll see if they'd held it in Minot. You could have said, why not Minot?
Why not Minot? There you go. As always, we've got two with us, our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. You made it through the Parade of Homes.
Yep, survived the Parade of Homes, and the Home Street Hydroplane won the national championship last week.
Saw that.
So that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, congratulations to Home Street. I mean, yeah, that's awesome. And I know you've been a big proponent of that the last couple of years and involved with Water Follies. So, yeah, fun to see that kind of come full circle there.
Yeah, when the president asks, yeah, should we sponsor a boat? Which one should we sponsor? And I say, well, there's this one, and now we've won two national championships in a row as the main sponsor, so it's very rewarding.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. What a great connection, and good job, and great for the community also. So we always like to start off with our crazy national celebrity housing, and this one is another update. About 2 years ago on the show, I had mentioned an estate that was on the market, and it actually was Katharine Hepburn's Long Island residence that had been in her family since 1913. Her parents had purchased
Wow.
it. Then it had been washed away by a hurricane in the late 30s, rebuilt by her, and went on the market 2 years ago at $14.8 million. Had actually been on the market for 3 or 4 years previous to that. It was owned by the CEO of an architect and construction company. Actually, finally sold, but it wasn't $14.8 million. After being on the market for on and off for 6 to 7 years, finally sold at $11.5 million. So we talk about price reductions, you know, sometimes that, you know, people think that luxury real estate market is so different, but there's a lot of the same principles that apply there. And that was somebody not finding value at that $15 million mark. And so took a little while for them to come down and find the sweet spot. But that is now under contract and then closed, actually.
Yeah, I'd love to add something great, but you know, when you're talking about $15 million go down to 11.5, I just don't really have any experience in that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is why it is our crazy celebrity real estate story. So diving into this week's topic, where Mike and I are always looking around and seeing what's happening and what's going on in the local market. And, you know, it was really interesting. You know, over the last couple months, I started to see a time where we've probably had more second home sales in the Tri-Cities than we've had at any other time. And as we start to grow, and, you know, now we're well above the 200,000 population mark and marching towards 300,000, we look at our area and we start to attract the ability for some people to use Tri-Cities as a second home market. And that just... really, that was a rare, rare thing 5-6 years ago. But now what you have happening is you have the wine industry becoming very, very popular. You've got so many golf courses. You've got the Tri-Cities token slogan of 300 days of sunshine. Well, you put that all together and you maybe throw in a family member here and there that has moved here or retired here. And we're actually selling quite a few residences in the second home market. So on top of that, I know there's a lot of folks in Tri-Cities that have considered having second homes. It's interesting. There's a cluster of people here that have Phoenix has been a big bed of second home market for people that live in the Tri-Cities. A lot of that has to do where companies and expansion of the Tri-Cities Airport, adding flights like Allegiant that has the direct flight to Mesa. As we've become a bigger community, there's a lot of added luxuries and amenities that make it possible to have a second home in some of those markets. So with that being the case, and we've experienced this a lot for our clients that have come from Portland and Seattle that we've sold second homes to recently to take advantage of that, there's a unique set of challenges that comes with the second home. So one of the things we wanted to do is kind of present some of those questions that you need to be asking yourself when you're considering a second home. And I also know there's a number of people in our area that, for instance, you know, have cabins at Tollgate or Packwood and have spent, you know, and invested money in second homes there. And so a lot of people are looking around and saying, is now the right time? And honestly, one of the reasons that I felt compelled to use this as a radio show right now is because I'm continually amazed by where our interest rates are. I mean, just to throw something out there, and we can't quote exact rates for the day, but basically this week with what I've been seeing, you're looking at 15-year mortgage rates fluctuating somewhere between 3.5 and 3.7. And I got to tell you, those rates, that's a crazy low number. And when you look at that, I think that the window of opportunity for someone to have a second home very affordable might be closing in the next 6 to 12 months to where it might change in people's minds. So thought I'd present a couple factors that we consider when we look at that. And the number one thing that we're looking at here is cost. And it's not just the sales price of the home. One of the things that happens that you've got to look into is you're not going to be, even if you're a handy person, you're not going to be there. So there's a lot of people that, you know, if something breaks or the driveway needs shoveled or the lawn needs mowed, you know, you're not going to drive 2.5-3 hours, mow the lawn, and then drive home. So you're going to have some increased costs when you look at the maintenance item. A general rule of thumb when you're looking at purchasing a second home that we like to use for our clients is that you want to look to an additional 1 to 1.5% of the home's cost. So if you're buying a $300,000, for your yearly amount. So if you're buying a $300,000 home as a second home, you're gonna want to budget between $3,000 to $4,000 to $4,500. as the amount of additional maintenance that you're going to need. And so that's a big thing. The other thing, last week, and I was talking to him about this off the air, we had Joe Peterson on the show, and Joe was talking about insurance, and we were talking about flood and fire insurance with what's happened on the national scene. But another thing him and I talked about off the air was second home insurance. And what happens is that home is going to be vacant a lot. If you're only there 1 weekend a month or 1 week a month, when a home is vacant for an extended period of time, that makes insurance companies very nervous, because what happens is a slow leak that would normally be caught by somebody turns into a big leak. And the next thing you know, then that's leaking for 3 weeks. You show up at your house and the home's full of water. Well, the insurance companies know this. They've been doing this a long time. So generally, you're looking, another general rule of thumb is second home is you're going to pay about 20% more for an insurance policy to cover that than you would be paying for a primary residence. The other thing that we really look at, and I'm going to be leaning on Mike for a little bit here for some of this on the mortgage side of things, but buying a second home, it really is a money decision. It's not just a fun way to spend your leisure time. It's one of those things that you're going to be looking at once the rest of your finances are really in order. And then because of that, I know there's some scrutiny that's going to happen, and I'm going to turn over to Mike here for just a little bit, but I know they're going to be looking at some additional things with a borrower when it comes to second homes.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that's different really is you go from a minimum of 5% down on a conventional loan for a primary residence to 10% down for a second home.
Dang it, you stole my point number six.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
But again, I'm of the belief that, well, if you're buying a second home and you've got your finances in order, doesn't that mean, you know, you've got 20% down and you're kind of solid and everything? I mean, that would be great if that was a goal. The rates are the same. The costs are the same. But yeah, we're going to look at everything. As you know, as we would on buying a primary residence, it's actually not that much different. Investment properties are very different, but second homes, besides going from 5 to 10% down, and the insurance difference, it's not that much different on the lending side. One of the things that I've seen is a lot of people buy second homes that are remote and off, like you mentioned, in Tollgate and Clallam and these in different areas, then the insurance goes up because of its proximity to a fully established fire station.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't even consider that. I was just going for the vacancy factor. But yeah, the remoteness comes into play, and then that's going to get added to your debt to income ratio and that payment, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so remoteness also a factor. And really, when we come back, we're going to talk about a different slant on second homes, because I've just talked about second homes as a luxury. A lot of listeners and people we know buy a second home and then use it as both rental income and a luxury, so they're helping cover some of that cost. But it comes with its own set of problems. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike Denslow at Home Street a little bit more about what's going on with lending. And then we're going to run a payment scenario and look at the true cost of owning a second home versus how much free cash you could have to spend on other vacations.
Right here on Newstalk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about the second home market, not a normal topic that first comes up when people think of the Tri-Cities and the real estate market. But you'd be surprised, recently we've had a lot of folks that have retired and purchased second home in Tri-Cities. A lot of them want to be close to family. You know, our economy's been growing, there's good jobs, their kids are living here working. get close to grandkids, they'll buy a second home in the Tri-Cities. We've had numerous sales this year of people from Seattle and Portland buying second homes in the Tri-Cities, and they come over traditionally really to take advantage of the wine industry and the golf. And so we've been selling homes close to the golf courses, and we've been selling homes close to the vineyards and doing a lot of business there.
Yeah, and the cost of living is what I hear. I mean, I'm talking to these people about their finances and different things, and they're maybe twilight years of working. They buy a second home here, setting themselves up for retirement. Then they retire and they move here. It's very common for, I've done that for a lot of Seattle clients in the last few years.
Yeah, and so we're really kind of looking at the differences there. We've been well positioned to help our clients take advantage of that. Having our property management division, we're starting to see more and more of that, where those off months for certain of those clients, we are using that as also a kind of a hybrid where it's an investment vehicle. So if you don't do any rental with your second home, I ran some numbers because before the break we said, hey, this is really a money decision. And you need to look at the fact of what's the alternative. If you're using this as vacation or luxury, what else could that free cash buy you? So ignoring the investment and appreciation side, if we just look at the straight cash numbers, let's say you have a $280,000 or $300,000 mortgage. You put it on a 15-year payoff to take advantage of the low rates and quicker payoff. That's putting you at a principal and interest payment of around $2,200 a month. And then you throw in, we talked before the break about the maintenance cost. We throw in that extra 1 to 1.5% maintenance cost. So now you're really looking at about $2,600 a month of that cash going out. You take your 12 months, do some calculations, you're going to be spending around $32,000 to $34,000 a year to have that second. Now, granted, some of that's paying down principal, some of that you might be getting back in appreciation. But if we just look at that, you really have to consider as an alternate source, how many trips can I take for $32,000. I mean, that's a significant amount of money. Or how many, you know, $2,600 a month trips could I take? So when you really get to that point, man, those numbers get really big really fast. And so you got to kind of take a step back. And a second home purchase, one of the notes I wrote down, is not really something you just impulsively leap into. You definitely want to have a plan for what you're doing there. So before I go into a few more points about that, I wanted to loop back to Mike at Home Street, get a little update on what's going on in the lending world. And I think Mike was doing some extra credit this week because he did a little traveling himself. And I think he's really getting into this house of the week thing. You were telling me about a great story off the air.
Yeah, you had Catherine Hepburn's house, and it reminded me that my wife and I were just in Boston recently, and we got to see Paul Revere's house.
Now, that's Ooh. Intense. Yeah, that's some serious history there.
Yeah, so Paul Revere's house was 90 years old when he moved into it in the 1700s, and he was a silversmith, so he had a good amount of money. And I walked up to this house, and they restored it to original condition. I was extremely impressed. It was a two-story house. It had windows, different things. I was just like, I can't believe this house was built in the 1600s.
That's incredible. We just don't see things like that on the West Coast.
Oh, no. Yeah, we have nothing like that. So the history in Boston is, you know, obviously really rich. And we were on the Freedom Trail, walking around, seeing all these different things. But this house was two stories. You came into and there was a staircase upstairs. You go upstairs, and it had the master bedroom, which also was the living room. So the master bedroom had the dressers on either side. It had a sewing table, and then it had some chairs, and they had a gentleman there speaking about it. And that's when you had guests over. They came into the master bedroom / living room
wow.
area. That's just where it was. Now, the other thing about Paul Revere is he had eight children, and his wife passed away just after the birth of their eighth and then he got married again and had eight more.
So times were a little different back then, for sure.
Right. And they had a two-bedroom house.
Oh, man. That is intense, for sure. It's cool to look at how real estate played a role in that.
So what I was thinking is, if you have kids that are complaining about, we don't get our own bedroom, well, neither did Paul Revere's kids.
Neither did Paul Revere. That is absolutely fantastic. Mike, what else is happening at Home Street and in lending right now that we need to be aware of?
Well, you touched on rates, right? We can't talk rates on the air, but they're still very low. People are really getting a lot of bang for their buck. And you look at the numbers of, you know, if rates are at 4% for a 30-year versus 5%, the buying power, that's something that we can always do. I'm going to say this every time you ask, you know, what's going on, is it's never too early to ask questions. Oh, I was thinking about saving up and buying something next year. Oh, I can't buy a house. I don't make enough money. My credit's not good enough. All of these things, let's find out for sure. You know, how much money do you have? Do you qualify for down payment assistance? Oh, my credit's bad. Well, what's the score? Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe it's not as bad as you think. You know, a lot of people who aren't familiar with credit and how it works or scared of it, they just shy away from it and don't get any, which, you know, we got to work through that too. But come in, sit down, sit across. I do a lot of educating in, all right, let's have a plan. Okay, no more late payments. Let's do this. Let's pay off this debt. Let's do this over here to try to raise your score, because the higher the score, the better the interest rate.
Mike, that's great advice. And I mean, I heard a story last week from a couple that had missed out on a house. They had just literally had waited an extra day or two or week to go get their pre-approval and hadn't found anything they liked. Well, sure enough, that perfect house had come on the market, and it took an extra 2 days to get that pre-approval jammed out. And the seller was an educated seller that wasn't looking at offers until they had pre-approvals. And they missed out on that house, and there was really no reason for them to do that other than the fact that they had waited on that. So, yeah, you're exactly right. I'm glad you encourage people to do that. Even if you're thinking, I'm going to start, you know, in a month or two or three, right now there's some fall inventory coming on the market. And as people settled back in their routines, we're seeing a few more options for buyers. And so as there's more options for buyers out there, the house is going to pop up, and probably when you least expect it to.
I have an example of a couple that moved here from Las Vegas. The wife got a job here in town. Good amount of student loan debt, and they came to me in July, and their lease is not up until January.
Yeah, smart.
So we got to go through all of their debts, all of the planning, what's going to get paid off, how much money do you need, months in advance.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had never bought a house before. Their mom called me from Las Vegas, the wife's mom, and I chatted with her about it. I mean, we went through the whole thing, and it's still, you know, we're still 4 months away from them wanting to move out of that apartment, but I'm glad they called.
Yeah, the process is in order. You know what you need to do, and yeah, you could jump on something if you had to, so that's great.
As soon as the time comes, they're going to be ready.
Awesome. Good information, Mike. Thanks for taking care of all of our clients. I know we've had quite a few closings and things finalizing the last couple of weeks, so I really appreciate that. Last point I really wanted to make about considering a second home, and I've heard from numerous folks that have done this, a lot of times folks will go to rent it out to help cover some of those costs that we talked about. They're like, gosh, I could have a second home. I could rent it. When people do this, the national average, according to the Association of Realtors, is that they end up renting that home roughly 15 weeks out of the year. So not a huge amount, but they do. The problem with doing that is people fail to plan, how much property management is going to cost. Because a lot of times, you know, people will be like, oh gosh, I've done property management or I've had rentals before. And generally it might be X percentage, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever that percentage is. They'll say, that's what I'm used to. The problem is when you go to a short-term rental and you're only renting to somebody for a week, and then there's cleaning and turnover within that week, and then you're re-advertising, your property management costs on a national average when you go to a shorter-term rentals like that go to 20 to 30%. So when you're doing your calculations of how much money you're going to make if you're doing less than a month or shorter-term rentals, you're probably going to need to factor in a higher percentage for property management. So they're definitely two different animals to manage when you're long-term versus short-term. We have options for both. We'd love to help clients look at that and make those decisions. We've done a number of those deals for a lot of our clients, helped with contacts for a lot of these second home purchasers. And anybody that has somebody that's considering that for the Tri-Cities, please direct them to kenmoreteam.com. We'd love to talk to them about that. Mike, on the lending side, as we wrap up, how can people get a hold of you if they're thinking about getting a mortgage?
My direct line at the office is 572-3651.
And we will be right back here next week,
right here on News Talk 870.